section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Motherfuckers, and how do you fucking whores? You know, a couple of whores that are got part-time jobs as lot lizards. You know who you are. How you doing? It's Donnie fucking Cash, White Trash Revival, episode 35. Got a good show lined up for you. I have the Erie Vaughn. You know Erie Vaughn from Sam Hain and Danzig. Hell yes, he's got a CD out called Kinda Country, and got an interview coming up later on in the show. The song I started was by a young fella named Tyler, or fuck, what was his name? Oh, Troy Hess, and it was called Please Don't Go Topless, Mother. And you know what, I know exactly how that kid feels. Because when I was a young boy, my mother, too, was a go-go dancer. And she was a go-go dancer at this little bar that was next to a bus stop where a lot of prison inmates would get dropped off when their time expired. They would go to that bus stop, and she was a go-go dancer there. And never know, one of them motherfuckers might be my dad. Anyways, got my... Got a studio guest tonight, my cousin, Tyler Flats. He might be gay because he likes Rascal Flats. How you doing, Tyler?
Oh, not too bad. What's up?
So, could you tell my outlaw country underground motherfuckers why you like Rascal Flats?
I guess it's because you assume that I'm gay, because you know.
There it is. Do you, Have you ever sucked a Peter?
I divulge in a lot of homosexual activity, yes.
Then you do like Rascal Flatts. I'll be goddamned. I'm going to have to kick this motherfucker out of my house because we don't listen, nor do we play Rascal Flatts on this radio station. You will convert, will you not?
We'll see what you can do.
I'll play you some Hank 3 and then I'll be your Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Sounds good to me.
You'll be my young Skywalker.
Can I?
And I promise to give you a courtesy tap when you give me head.
Only if you give me a reach around afterwards.
I'm courteous like that. I will give you a reach around, and I'll give you a reach around until you have a happy ending.
Sounds good to me, as long as you get me off, bitch.
Hell yes. Let's get in the first set, motherfuckers.
Same old song, just a kiss song. you should curse around the child. Really? I don't think you should be around a child.
Behavior.
All right, motherfuckers. Before we get on about the set and all that good stuff, I just want to let you folks know that my cousin, Tyler
Flat,
got mad at me and left. And, you know, I feel bad, but fuck it. Shit happens. He got mad and left because I forgot to give him a courtesy tap, and I accidentally came in his mouth. So now, he's a queer. And he got pissed off and left. But before he left, he did say that he did like Hank 3 and the good sound of that honky-tonk country music. So hopefully we got us somebody converted onto our side. Yes, Lowed. Well, I got something I want to get off my chest here, folks, before I get off into the set. And that is this. You know, I do this show because I enjoy the music. And, you know, the music's what it's all about. I can give a fuck less about me. You know, I do like getting on here and saying stupid shit and all that good stuff. And you know what? If 3, 4, 5, even 50 people did a show exactly like mine and said shit, the same shit I say, I could care less. As long as I get to hear me a new artist and something good, I could give a fuck less. Because to me, it's about this movement and about this music. All this and that, and, you know, this set right here, we started off with The Preacher's Son with Prayers and Diet Pills. And following them was Walter Spencer with Hair of the Dog. And ending this set was a tune by Sadie and The Crooked Road with It's True What They Say.
Let's have a rendezvous just like we used to. Let's love the whole night through. Let's have a rendezvous. I understand you found somebody new, and all the rumors that I've heard are true. They say does the things that I could never do. He's good to you, and his love is true. I close my eyes, and all I see is you. I've had a drink or two. The jukebox is playing One Night With You, and all I can think is let's have a rendezvous. Let's have a rendezvous just like we used to. Let's love the whole night through. Let's have Let's have a rendezvous, just like we used to. Let's love the whole night through. Let's have a Let's have a rendezvous. Let's have a rendezvous, just like we used to. Let's love the whole night through. Let's have a rendezvous. Let's have a rendezvous, just like we used to. Let's love the whole night through. Let's have a rendezvous.
Attention, this is your captain speaking. I've got good news and bad news. The good news is we'll be landing immediately. The bad news is we're crash landing.
I got the herpes. I got the herpes when I was sucking.
people think the crucifixion only took place on Calvary. They better wise up. Taking Joey Doyle's life to stop him from testifying is a crucifixion. Dropping a sling on K.O. Dugan because he was ready to spill his guts tomorrow, that's a crucifixion. And every time the mob puts the crusher on a good man, tries to stop him from doing his duty as a citizen, it's a crucifixion. And anybody who sits around and lets it happen, keeps silent about something he knows has happened, shares the guilt of it just as much as the Roman soldier who pierced the flesh of our Lord to see if he was dead.
Welcome back, good folk. Welcome back. And starting off this set was the Modern Eldorados with Let's Have a Rendezvous. I sure could go for a rendezvous. Yes, I could. This hand just ain't cutting it no more. Following that was the Bloody Jug Band with Her Blood. Was that song cool or what? Yes, it was. And ending the set was Adam Lee and the Dead Horse Sound Company with Ghostly Fires. It's a real good CD old Adam Lee put out. I'm sure glad he sent it to me. show does mean a lot. Yes, Lord. All right. You know, I do all my business around MySpace because I'm fucking old school, and MySpace is the originator of the networking tool. You know, I hate Facebook. Fuck Facebook, and Twitter can suck a fat baby's dick. But one thing that pisses me off about MySpace is as soon as I go to log on, I see that fat motherfucker, Gabriel Iglesias. You know, the comedian that's not a goddamn bit funny. I believe he's on Last Comedian Standing, and he's not funny at all. And every time I log on, I see that fat motherfucker, I just want to take a straight razor and slice him from his Adam's apple to his fucking little cock, jam an apple in his mouth and rotisserate that motherfucker and feed a third world country. But fuck, they probably starve, because I'm pretty sure all he is fucking lard. But they could probably keep warm in the winter. You know, cut out some of that fucking fat and rub it on them. Keep them warm. Yes, sirree. And another person that pisses me off when I log on is that stupid slut, Shannon Elizabeth. How the fuck did she even get famous? She played the foreign chick in American Pie and did a horrible job at it. I mean, she's a piss poor fucking actress. Not to mention she's a mediocre poker player. You know, fuck. And then all these stupid ass fucking bands. You know, just pisses me off. Anyways, let's we'll get into a little tune by Old Gray Belly, which is called Apocalyptic Polka, and then we'll get straight into the Erie Vaughn interview. So here you go. Yo, yo, yo. Oh yeah, I had some Colt 45.
Man, please, I date fat women. Talking about.
All right, folks, with me on the phone, I have Erie Vaughn, a musician, an artist, and a photographer. How you doing, Erie?
I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm not too bad. Sober. That kind of sucks.
Can always.
But the night's still young.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Well, you want to give the folks a little background information on you? Well, you know, what I play here is a little underground country, rockabilly, psychabilly, a little punk rock here and there, and all the stuff in between.
Yeah, so most of them should probably know who I am, I guess, you know. Many of them are into the punk stuff. That's where I started. I'm still pretty much punk at heart, you know. Can't really get that out of your system.
Right. And you got ties with the Misfits and Danzig and all them, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Lodi, New Jersey with Doyle and got to be friends with his brother Jerry and his other brother. And we just, you know, we were all, I was playing basketball and they were playing football, so we had camera with me and, you know, hung out and took a bunch of pictures. And, you know, eventually Glenn and I got pretty friendly, so he asked me to be in a band with him when he was going to break up the Misfits. So we started Samhain. And then did that for a couple of years, put out some records, went on tour. And then just, you know, guys fell by the wayside, and we got a couple of new players. We got John Christ to play guitar and Chuck Biscuit, the legendary drummer, to be in the band, and we started Danzig. So, you know, just went from there. I just kept bringing the camera along, you know, in the studio and on the road and stuff, and just went from there. Did that till I started with Glenn in like 84. I left in like 95. But we did pretty well. Got a couple gold records, stuff like that, you know. So,
do you still talk to Danzig?
No, I don't. You know, I lost touch with him. You know, I hear, you know, people, you know, through the grapevine. He knows what I'm doing. I know what he's doing. So I still talk to Chuck, and I still talk to Doyle. I talked to him the other day. And he's working on a new record, so he's real happy about that. So that's just...
I think he did Gorgeous Frankenstein, didn't he?
Yeah, that's what he's doing now.
Yeah, because I bought his latest on iTunes.
Yeah, he's I don't think he's that happy with that record, but I think he's real happy with the new material he's working on. Sounds real good about it, you know. And got a singer that he works with. He says the guy's great. He says, you know, I come up with the tunes, and he comes up with the music, and he's, you know, he sounds real happy about it, so I'm looking forward to hearing that.
So there's no original members in the Misfits now, is there?
Well, Jerry's in, you know, we got Jerry, and then Robo played on one record with them, the Earth AD record, and the other guy is from Black Flag. They had Marky Ramone playing with them for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and that's it's basically just Jerry, really. You know, and then when they did the new Misfits, they had Michael Graves and another kid from high school that we went to school with playing drums, Chud. So he's got Chud back in his band, and they just did some songs with Graves at a Danzig show last month or 2 months ago. So you never know, he might have those guys get up and do some songs from time to time. And he opens up for Glenn once in a while, and they do a couple Misfits songs at the end, you know.
So let's talk about your CD that you sent me, Kinda Country.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been writing songs for like 20 years, and, you know, the stuff, you know, depends on what I'm working on, but I write all kinds of songs, so, you know, I was just, over the years, I'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool, but that's not, doesn't fit in with what I'm doing at the moment, so I just put the songs aside. So I've written all kinds of stuff, you know, spooky stuff, and, you know, punk rock stuff, and, you know, some country and a lot of blues stuff. So I just got to the point where I had a whole bunch of songs, and I just felt like recording them, so I did, and they just sound a little bit more country to me. And if you come from, like, punk rock, and you hear the song, you'd be like, oh, that's like, sounds like a country song, but people who listen to country radio would probably think that it doesn't sound that much country. That's why I just called it Kinda Country, because...
Right.
But when people say, well, what's it like? I say, well, it's kind of country, you know. So that's just what I did, you know. Didn't think that anybody who wasn't into country would be turned off by that, but I didn't really care, you know.
Right.
And like I said, I don't know. What do you think it sounds like?
You know, the vision I get when I hear it, you know, it's got country elements to it, and it's like the album says, kind of country. But in my head, what I picture is a killer going from coast to coast killing people, and that's the music that would play, like if it was a movie or something.
Yeah, that
could work. It's dark and sinister, but yet it tells a story like a good country does.
Yeah, I'm into the blues stuff, and country's just, you know...
Well, how about we get into a song off that album right quick, then we'll come back and talk more about it.
Alrighty.
What would you like to...
You can pick. You're the... It's your
How about we do Please Don't Wake Me?
Sure.
All right, then we'll come back and talk about it and talk about some more things. Favorite songs on the album, Erie. I really do like that one.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest ones. I wrote that in like 96, like shortly after I left Danzig, you know, and I don't know. Well, actually, it was a song I was thinking about Greg Allman, and it was a song that I thought would be good for him.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you know, I'm like, oh, if I ever run into him, I'll give him this song. And of course, I haven't run into him yet, so I figured I had to record it. Sort of reminds me of him. Some one of the type songs he might have wrote. So,
you know, you're talking about being in punk bands and all that stuff, and it seems like now punk rock and outlaw country coincide. They go together hand in hand.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially with, you know, like, say, Hank Green doing his thing. I mean, he's a punk rock guy for sure, you know, and he's just got that country, you know, tradition that he couldn't get away from, you know. It's kind of like you're born into it. It just kind of come out. So, like, when he does his shows, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it doesn't matter if you, how you do it. It's just you know, it's all in the attitude. It doesn't, you know, whatever label somebody wants to put on it. I mean, it all, as far as I'm concerned, people from different parts of the country or different age groups, you know, they like a lot of different things, you know. And you can't always listen to the same stuff all the time because you don't always feel that way, you know.
Right. You know, you check my iPod, you got all kinds of stuff on there, bluegrass.
Yeah, exactly, and that's why I didn't really have a problem putting out a record like, you know, that's a little bit more country because, you know, so it's just one of those things where, it's, you know, you do whatever you want to do.
I'm glad you got in touch with me and shot me that CD because when I heard it, I was fucking amazed. I really, really liked it.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I would like to get as many people as possible to hear it, so I figured, you know, why not if that was something that, you know, you might be interested in to turn people onto it. That's the name of the game, you know. You want people to hear your songs, you know, so.
Yeah, and it's definitely dark, and I like stuff like that, and if I ever decide to go out on a multi-state killing spree, that'd be the CD I'd take with me.
Well, there you go. then you get on CNN, and then people would, you know, find my record in your van or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would probably be my fault that you wouldn't. Everybody like to, they like to blame somebody for it. So.
Yeah, like the Beatles' White Album inspired Manson and his family do all that crazy stuff.
Yeah, or, you know, whatever crime they want to pin on Marilyn Manson, you know.
Yeah.
Or whatever, or Judas Priest or AC/DC.
Right, so after I do my little crime spree, Erie Vaughn calls Donnie fucking Cash to kill all those people.
Yeah, exactly.
Might make you rich.
Yeah, well, I'd rather get rich some other way, so, you know, I don't think I want that on my conscience.
Right, right. Well, you want to talk about your photography a little bit and your artwork?
Well, I just put out a book of all the photos that I've taken. Not all of them, but most of them from, you know, to high school till present day. And it's called Misery Obscura, put out by Dark Horse, the comic company. And it's doing real well. And I just tell the stories with some of the photos and pretty much do timeline of, you know, all the bands I've been in and all the people I've met. Wanting me to do this for a real long time, and I've been trying to get it together, but it just kind of happened a couple of years ago, and we got it to come out this past December, and everybody's loving it, you know. All the kids are like, oh my god, this is great, you know. And I was like, yeah, good, I'm glad you like it, you know. But I don't shoot a lot like I did then, because it just don't really, you know, I haven't updated any of my equipment and stuff, and I'm not in the digital age right now. So,
right.
But I do mostly what I do now is I paint. I've been painting pretty much my whole life since I was a little kid, drawing and painting. That's what I did in school, you know. And so I started doing it again full time about 10, 11 years ago. So I paint every day and sell the paintings. I'm mostly on eBay, and some people, you know, contract me to do things for, like, record covers, or, you know, I had a guy who wanted me to paint a portrait of Herman Munster for his house, you know, because he's doing a Munster's house. I'm like, oh, you know, like, he's going to make a replica of the Munster's house, and he wanted a painting of Herman Munster. I'm like, yeah, go, that's cool. I can handle that. So I'm dying to see this guy's house. I'm like, you must have some money for that, man.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what I do, you know. So I'm paying the bills mostly through the painting, you know. I sold pretty much everyone I ever did, so that's going real well. Stuff is mostly, you know, spooky shit, just like the song, you know, lots of monsters, you know, dark stuff pretty much. Can't get away from it.
Yeah. Who all of you shared the stage with besides the Misfits guys, and have you ever been starstruck?
No.
No.
You know, well, we always had attitude that, like, you know, we were the best bands in the world, so whatever band we were doing, that sort of kept carrying on. So, well, as we went, you know, the people that I know that are real famous and, you know, big rock stars, they weren't really that famous when I knew them, so we But other than that, I don't really, I just, whenever I run into anybody who's really famous, it's just kind of like, hey, how's it going? And you never want to talk shop, you know, just like, because that's their job. You know, if you run into a movie star, you don't talk about the movies, you know.
Right.
So it's just normal, just like everything else.
Well, how about we get another song here? How about we do Lonely Me?
Sure.
All right, and come back and talk about that song, and we'll talk about a little bit of other things and finish up the interview.
All right.
All righty. Here's Lonely Me.
True.
tell me how you came up with that song, Lonely Me.
Yeah, that's just another real old song that I wrote right after Danzig, probably, I don't know, 10, 15 years old. But that's just a relationship song, you know, some girl breaks your heart, you know, that's a song you write. And it was kind of like a waltz. It was called Lonely Me, the Wolf and Bee, you know, and that was just the way it came out. And sort of reminds me of like a 50s song. Or has a little Roy Orbison in there, and has the talking part that they used to do in the 40s and the 50s, the recitation in the middle, you know, instead of like a guitar lead. Elvis did a lot of songs like that, so I kind of got to that point. I'm like, well, it seems like it needs something here, so I'll just talk over it and then go back into the, you know, and end it sort of that way. So but it's one of my favorites, and everybody seems to respond to it, you know. Mostly women like that song for some reason.
Yeah.
But you can't go wrong with that. You gotta have the women liking your song.
Oh yeah.
So they respond to that one, and you know, like I said, it's one of the oldest ones. So I'm pretty happy that somebody likes something that I did so long ago before I really got to be a better songwriter. You know, I think I knew I was on the right track when I wrote that one. You know, I'm like, I think I might be getting good at this. You know.
Yeah. So, what do you got planned for 2010?
I'm trying to, you know, get some money together. I want to go back out on the road, you know. I haven't been on tour in a long time. So I'm trying to get some money together to get some kind of vehicle, you know. Got another guy. We're just going to go out as a two-piece and just sit and tell stories and play songs and do, like, small club stuff and keep things casual, you know. I did a couple of songs when I did a book signing in New York and just did it like that and just had fun and talked and, you know, played some songs, so I think I want to take that out and see what I can do. And, you know, I'll probably eventually put a band together, but right now I just want to go out and play the songs and meet some people and have some fun, you know.
What label is Kind of Country on?
Oh, it's really not on any label.
Really?
It's on Ghastly Records, where we've had put my first band, Rosemary's Babies, when I was in high school. We put out a record and put it on there. Just like you do when you put out punk rock records, you start your own record company. So it's just better to have like a name. So I just use that name, and the guy who's been putting the records out for the past couple of years for Rosemary's Babies still puts out records on Ghastly. So we just put it on there, you know.
So if someone would be interested in purchasing it, how could they go about it?
You can just go to one of my sites. Yurivan.com or, you know, MySpace or Facebook or, you know, Blogspot, you know, and they all have links to where you can buy it. Or you could go to CD Baby and get it there. A lot of the records are on Amazon. A bunch of people are selling them on eBay. So, you know, there's a lot of places you can go. If you want to, you know, just find me on the computer, you can always type in Yurivan, you know, and it'll eventually get to me.
Yeah, I'm sure after people hear some of these tunes on this show here, they'll definitely get it, because, like I said, it's a great fucking album. It's not like all the other goth country or country punk.
Yeah, I haven't. Well, the stuff that I've heard is, you know, some of it's pretty good. That's a little more country influenced. It's mostly all, mostly spooky stuff, you know, and a lot of that stuff, which I like, you know, but I just don't happen to write stuff like that. When I want things to get real spooky, then I fall into my Doors kind of vibe, you know.
Right,
make
right.
Spooky songs like that, but yeah, I think if people give it a chance that they'll like it, and I hope that they will, and I appreciate the fact that you like it and want to help me try and sell some copies.
Well, I'm sure they will like it, because my word's pretty much gospel. And if I like it, they like it.
That's a good position to be in.
I do have a question kind of off the subjects of everything.
Sure.
And it's got to do with Danzig. I remember seeing the videos back in when Mother was real big.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was a beefy fucker. And everybody in the band was, too. Was everybody in that band shooting roids back then?
No.
No?
No.
My God.
He was never that big. Neither was the rest of us. You know, we just worked out a lot, you know. Because, you know, you had to look good. You know, you didn't want to be fat or be too skinny, you know.
Right. I mean, he was a bigger dude. He wasn't bodybuilder big, but he was pretty big.
Yeah, well, it's hard to tell. You have to see somebody in person to tell how big they are. And everybody looks bigger on stage or in videos, you know.
Yeah.
But he did a lot of like kickboxing type training and stuff like that on the road. He didn't really lift a lot of weights on the road. And we all before we, you know, if we were at home, we'd all go to the gym, you know, or work out at home a lot, you know. But yeah. No, he was never into anything like that. I mean, that's just there's too many health risks when you get into that. And plus, if you do that, you have to work out all the time, you know. And there's really not a lot of time to do that when you're in a band and you're on the road because, you know, you're not keeping regular hours. And when you get to a hotel, some of them don't have gyms, and then you got to go find the gym. It's really impossible, you know. So, no, he definitely never did it.
Yeah. I was always curious. Well, I hope you come through Ohio. That way I can catch a show.
Yeah, that would be cool. I have some friends there still, so, I'll definitely try to book something there, you know. I always like the Midwest.
There's a real good venue right on the Ohio-Kentucky border. It's in Kentucky.
Yeah.
It's the Southgate House.
Well, I'll have to keep in touch with you, and maybe you can hook me up when I need a date down there, you know.
Yeah, and the Southgate House, it looks like the house off of Psycho.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's an old mansion.
Well, that sounds cool.
Yeah, it is. Real, real cool, real nice place.
Yeah, that sounds like it'll be right up my alley.
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, the Misfits played there around Halloween.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain they did. It was around that time. But, how about I let you pick out the song to end the interview with? How'd you come about that song?
Oh, it's another girl, you know.
Yeah.
Some chick you just can't get out of your head, and eventually you come to the realization that you got to move on, and you stop thinking about her, so, you know.
Yeah, women are good inspirations for songs, ain't they?
Yeah, well, they pretty much are inspiration for almost everything, I guess.
Yeah, you got that right.
Art and music and poetry and all that kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Always women, they always do it.
All right, well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be on my show. I appreciate it. It means a lot to me.
I appreciate you having me on, so I hope you...
All right, and...
to go well for you.
Thank you. And we'll end the show here, or in the interview with Stop Getting Over You.
All right, thanks a lot.
Remember when
was Johnny Stuntman with Bang. Now, how about we get in another set? Yeah!
Someplace afar, and my head's void of sickness and my body of pain, and I think to myself as it begins to rain, I could seek shelter up at the farm in the car, or have comfort back here once I return this guitar. Now I'm wading in water so clean, and the creatures are all drawing near, and I can feel their lives resonate, and the interconnection is clear, and my senses are letting me know. Since it started, this feeling has grown, from the earth to the clouds in the sky, and into the cosmos unknown. And the voices of those who were here before me make their way through the branches of every tree, intertwined in the root and the leaf and the wood. And I can't describe it, but I know that it's good. Everything is green. So quiet and so such a lovely scene. Walking away, I now know, every time that we harm a tree, or the soil, or water, or air, we are also harming you and me. We can kill these things for a quick fix, but in the long run it will only show we were killing ourselves all along, and we have become our own foe. Cause when we cut things we fall, when we plant them we grow, and we're gonna keep falling until we all know the seriousness of the morals we've broke, and we all know the truth that these moments have spoke.
This is definitely murder.
There are other possibilities.
I have to admit, none spring to mind.
One possibility: drunken, death-obsessed, Satan-worshipping, drug-abusing teens rob a grave and reenact an ancient torture.
Ah, just another Saturday night.
Friends, let me clear my throat's a little dry. Starting this set was
Joe Fury and the Hayride with Graveyard Shift. Following them was Slug's Revenge with Suicidal Culture. I believe that our culture is a suicidal culture. We are dying and killing each other, and we need to shape up. The fuck do you think? And ending the set was the Rucksack Willies with Beautiful Stranger. Now let me tell you about the time I met this beautiful stranger. It was in a bar, and this gal was sitting at the bar having drinks. And I thought it was kind of odd because, I shit you not, this gal looked like Angelina Jolie. Nice plump lips, jet black hair. And no one was approaching her. Maybe they was too intimidated by her beauty. But I got me a couple drinks in me, and I went up to that bar and I said, "Excuse me, miss, can I sit here and strike up conversation with you? You are a beautiful stranger." And she said, "Well, let's change all that. My name's Caitlin." And she was no longer a stranger after that. But, as my story goes, this chick was, oh, deliciously beautiful. And I sat there all night drinking with her and pouring down drink after drink. And she poured down drink after drink. And we began to get real flirty with one another, the drunker we got. And, well, one thing led to another, and I invited her back to my place. And she said, "Well, I prefer to come back to my place." So I said, "Well, let's go then, hon." And let me tell you this. She got off that bar stool, and it was the first time I noticed all night that the bitch didn't have no legs. I thought, holy fuck, no wonder no one was talking to this gal. But, needless to say, I was all worked up. And, you know, being a man, I watched her waddle and shuffle and do her style of walking to my car, you know. There's only so much you can do with no legs when you're walking. So we get back to her place and instantly start going at it. And I must admit, it was quite good. And, but the only thing was, is on her little stumps, she had these fucking hard calluses from years of walking with no legs. And those hard calluses and my sweaty pelvis area and all that pumping and grinding, it chafed me something fierce. Oh, I was so chafed in my midsection, but, you know, it was well worth it. And needless to say, I haven't seen my little leg lift Angelina Jolie since that wonderful, exquisite night. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up for my show, folks. And, let's see here. You know, I'm on Section 86. You can find me at section86.com. You can email me at don@section86.com. You can find me on MySpace. That's where I do most of my business and all that good stuff. And I am now part of the Pint of Happiness record label. They got my bio over there. I recommend you to go over there and read my bio and see what the real Donnie F. Cash is all about. And buy some music over there, because what they do over there is great. It's for underground artists, and, you know, all the music is really good, and Elvis Proctor runs a good site. All the music over there is really, really good, and Elvis Proctor runs a phenomenal site over there, and he cares about the artists and cares about the music. And check it out. It's you can find it at pintofhappinesslabel.com. You know, go over there and show your support. You know, even if you ain't gonna buy nothing, go over there and download something. Maybe you will like something and eventually lead to buying something. Well, if you're an artist out there, send some shit his way. He's always looking for new talent. And honestly, he really don't make no money off of it. He just does it for the love. So that's going to be it for my show. And I'm going to play a little Johnny Lobo with a song off his album Goat Sushi. And I'm out of here. Motherfuckers!